for 12 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
And we're privileged and happy to have you.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
9 o'clock hour. Second hour of our Saturday morning broadcast. It's the On the House hour. We talk about something on your home, castle, or cabin. And we're talking about the water on your property, in your plumbing, in your pipes, how it gets to you and how we're going to conserve that for the growing population. I'm happy to report, based on Jim Cross, Arizona's weather reporter, states that due to recent rains, that we are down from what was 84% extreme drought down to 52%. Now, 52% drought isn't good, but that's better than 84%. So
right.
Always happy for the rain we get. SRP reported last week that they are still in good position between the Salt and the Verde River watershed, about 104,000 acre feet. Now, you're going to hear acre feet a lot, and we'll describe exactly what that is. Puts the 21 runoff second driest in 109 years since SRP has kept record, but the reservoirs are still at 1.3 million acre feet, which is two times more than their annual water delivery and more than CAP delivers in a year. So we've got a great reservoir there. And the Arizona Water Bank Authority has stored over 3 million acre feet of Colorado River water. So we've got huge reservoirs in the state. And it's a statistic you hear from us often, but I wanted to back that up with a statistic reported by Smithsonian Institute that America as a whole is using less water than we did in 1970. And the statistic you hear in Arizona often is today we're using the same amount of water as we did 64 years ago in 1957.
Right.
Pretty impressive, especially when you consider our population then was about 1 million and now we're about 7 million. So with the addition of 6 million people, we're still consuming annually about the same amount of water. So how are we going to go forward? I think we have to look at how we've accomplished that. And the biggest water user in the state is agriculture. So we asked Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau. You're always in the first Saturday of the month in our 8 o'clock hour. Since August was water month, we thought, well, let's just hold you over and join us in this hour to talk about how we've done that,
right?
Being the biggest water consumer. At one point, agriculture was 90% of our annual use, and right now it's like 77%. Mm-hmm. So not only are you the biggest water users, but in regards, you're the biggest water conservationists,
right?
Being able to maintain the same water use.
Yeah, I really appreciate, Romy, that you didn't let me flee the studio, because water is one of my favorite topics for us, and Arizona Farm Bureau is addressing it on a constant basis. And so that's why I'm joined today with Arizona Farm Bureau's Government Relations Director, Chelsea McGuire. And she and I are partnered at the Farm Bureau in advancing the cause of this critically important industry, which is agriculture. But before I let her talk, I want to emphasize Chelsea's farm background even more. So her and I were not in farming, but she comes, like myself, from a generational farm family in the same county, Pinal County. And there, the family grew cotton, wheat, and melons. And during her high school years, she managed production. I mean, she did more than I did. I drove the tractor. I burned weeds. Yes, I trimmed trees in our pistachio orchard. But here's what she did. She managed production on a few of her own acres. She has boots on the ground experience with managing and applying targeted water on crops. And I mentioned that we're both from Pinal County. This county is known as an innovator in water technology and conservation. 90%+ of the farming acres in Pinal County have some sort of irrigation efficiency infrastructure on them, whether that's laser leveling for flood irrigation, drip systems, pivot sprinklers, and more. My own farmer dad was leveling his field in the fields in the 1980s and completed 100% of the process within a decade. So all his water application on his crops were saving water. And that's typically, that's what the Schlittenhart family, that's her maiden name, did with her grandpa. Can tell you stories that go back decades. Pinal County is also host to the Wirtz family. I want to give the Wirtz family in Pinal County some props here. They're a generational farm family that for several decades has now pioneered drip technology to the point that some of their patented technology and drip is known and used worldwide. So, you know, and it doesn't end there. With it doesn't end with Pinal County. Farmers across our state are working every day to be as efficient as possible when it comes to our most precious resource, which obviously is water. If we don't have water, we can't farm. We're excited to spend some time talking with you today about why farms are water wise. And if there's anybody that knows, it's Chelsea, because every water meeting that we have in the state. So, Chelsea, give us the overview. What's going down with water in Arizona and all these meetings that you have to attend?
Yeah, it's constant, right? And I think that is because it's such an important resource, and it's just a scarce resource here in Arizona. And so, you know, some of the stats that we mentioned earlier on in this segment about how much water that Arizona agriculture uses, I think it's really important to put that into context. We are definitely the biggest water user in the state, but it's also, I think, the best return for water that we have in our state. So I kind of look at it as like a monthly budget, right? My mortgage is the biggest thing I have in my monthly budget, but that doesn't mean that that's where I should look necessarily to decrease what I'm spending per month, because it's the most important thing I spend every month as well. It's what gives us that shelter. It's what gives us that basic need. So when we're talking about Arizona's water use and agriculture's water use especially, it's great to know that what our farmers and ranchers are doing every single day is everything they can to conserve that water, use every drop to the best of their ability so that it's producing as much as possible to put food on the plates of you and me. And so it's fun to be here to talk about it. I do spend a whole lot of time, you know, as government relations director, I get to serve as sort of the conduit between our Farm Bureau members and their elected officials. And so when they need to talk to government agencies or talk about issues that are facing them, I get to be sort of that connector between them and the right person to talk to. And a lot of times with that means is that I'm learning a lot about what's happening out at the government and making sure that our voices of farmers and ranchers are heard. And so happy to talk today about how we've been able to decrease agricultural water withdrawals by 35% in Arizona and yet still have a $23.3 billion industry that puts food on my plate, your plate, and the plates of everybody in the state.
And so some of these specific water technologies that the Romero family is giving us the privilege to share, it's the irrigation technology, it's the seed technology, flood irrigation, low and no-till and crop rotation, and soil technology. So let's launch into some of these. What about the irrigation technology?
So I think this is the best one and the most visible one to talk about. When we're talking about how do we produce food with water, and we look out and we see, okay, there's all these things on farms and some of them are flooding and some of them are doing this. Kind of the conversation always goes to, well, let's talk about drip irrigation. And there's a really good reason for that. And it's because drip irrigation allows a farmer to be extremely precise in their water application. What it means is that there's a line going across the field. So that line can either be on top of the soil, it can be below the soil, and it's got low pressure, literal drips of water coming out of that line in areas across the field. And so that applies water only as much as the farmer wants to apply and only where the farmer wants to apply it. And so that means that that water is going directly to the plant's root system. The plant can use that as effectively as possible, uses all of that. You're losing less to evaporation. You're losing less to runoff. And so drip has really been heralded as sort of the best way to improve water conservation and the best way to get the most out of that drop.
So every listener is going to ask, well, then why isn't every farmer converting to drip, Chelsea?
Yeah, and that's a question I hear all the time. You know, if it's so great, why don't we just mandate that that's what everybody has to do? And it is great, but it's also limited in how great it is. The first limitation on drip is really the cost. You're looking at anywhere between $500 and $1,200 an acre to install a drip system. And you are going to save some money. It is going to increase that efficiency and it is going to give you some better margins, but that's a lot to pay for. And we have farmers who have razor thin margins all the time anyway. It's really difficult for them to be able to make that capital investment.
And when you're talking capital investment, I'm just going to use our farmer that was in last hour, John Bolts, Desert Premium Farms out of Yuma. 2,000 acres that they farm, if they were on the higher end of that 1,200 per acre to convert times 2,000, that's $2.4 million to convert.
That's right.
And imagine if he just leases. He doesn't own the land. So he's at risk of a huge investment. And a lot of our farmers out here are leasing land.
Yeah. And it's very difficult sometimes, too, to see that planning horizon when you're talking about farming, because you don't know what the market's going to be 2 years from now, 3 years from now versus what it is today. So that's one of the biggest challenges to having that at least drip irrigation technology on every acre that we're growing food. The other is that drip doesn't always work well depending on what your soil type is like. So I actually leaned very heavily on my personal expert in drip irrigation and irrigation technology, Joel John. He's actually a state representative from District 4, but his family also owns an irrigation technology company. And I said, okay, if you were to say, what's the best soil type to put drip irrigation on, what would your answer be? And he said, well, it really works best on heavier soils with a little bit more of a clay content. Those aren't all that frequent here in Arizona. We've got pretty sandy soils most of the time. But he said that the reason for that is that water moves laterally a lot better through that heavier soil. And so that's what you're talking about, getting it all the way down to that root system, all the way across that field. Now, Arizona's sandy loam soils do still work pretty well for drip. And he said that, you know, most of our soils are going to work, but there are some soils where it doesn't make sense. So you're going to make that investment and actually not get the efficiency that you want to get out of it. And so that's another calculation our farmers are making on a day-to-day basis when it comes to that.
And
so,
I'm going to just, we've got 1 minute here till the break, and I want to make one more point from John earlier. They're saying, depending on the quality, 10 to 20% of their watering is to leach out minerals. So the water quality and the water source that they're coming from can also be a determining factor in that, because you might, right, you know, something that's more, has more minerals and more salts in it, if you're just doing a slow drip application, you're going to have a lot more salt mineral buildup there.
That's
and
exactly
it might not
right.
be the best match for that.
So yeah. You're going to get that, and you don't have the pressure to leach those salts down into the soil, so they're not, you know, near the plant. But you're also going to have issues with salt or sand in your pumps for your drip system, and that's going to cause some pretty big maintenance headaches as well.